Chapter 6. The ABN building on Times Square. All the freaks are out today. The queue snaking along the west side of the square, coiling around the corner onto 42nd Street, and continuing on for several blocks, reaching halfway to 8th Avenue. The big jumbotron above the Coca-Cola sign proclaims, "American pop star, the search starts here." Cops on foot and horseback mill around, keeping the people off the street, keeping the crossings clear. Hot dog vendors and cold soda merchants have gathered too, working the line, knowing the freaks are going to have a long, hot wait. Many have been here since the night before, spending the hot summer evening on the warm sidewalk. Tourists with their cameras stop at the most extreme examples in the line and snap away. What a story to tell the guys back in Omaha, Idaho, Toledo. And they are not short of extreme examples to photograph. The 7.5-foot-tall pair of goths, their Mohicans dyed candy floss pink and electric blue, the platform soles of their industrial space boots 2 feet tall alone. The trio of identical sisters dressed as sex pixies, puffball skirts with stockings and suspenders, cleavages straining against taut ivory basques, their hair all matching lilac bobs. They're he-men, she-men, robots, superheroes, the near-naked, the heavily made up, and the God knows what. Some are children, some are senior citizens. Some appear sane enough, and some are clearly as mad as a bottle of fries. Many of them are singing, practicing snatches of songs, arias, scales, vocal exercises. They stop and break off to perform for the cameras of the TV crews that roam the line, some of them from the show itself, getting audition footage to cut into the program, some of them from the New York City news stations. As another camera car glides down 42nd Street, filming out of the window, a girl bends over and lifts her skirt, flashing them plump white buttocks quivering atop black stockings. A man falls to his knees and starts screaming the intro to a song. Another pair, a giant and a midget, some kind of double act, throw themselves into action, the midget scampering rapidly up onto the giant's shoulders and both of them bursting into song. All of them, midgets, giants, old, young, beautiful, ugly, all of them have the same disease. Fame as birthright. Oh, man, Jesus says, turning his face away as yet another camera wagon trundles by. This is fucking embarrassing. Easy money, JC, Chris tells him for the umpteenth time. Easy money. Jesus has his Gibson slung over his back and the little pig-nose amplifier strapped to his belt. He has tried several times this morning to leave, only to be cajoled back by Chris. Hours pass. The line shuffles forward inch by inch, with Times Square itself seemingly never getting any closer. A reporter on foot, microphone in hand, camera crew following, is roaming the queue, conducting random interviews with likely subjects. He swings abruptly round and thrusts the mic towards the two attractive girls standing in front of Jesus and Chris. "Hi there," he says. "Tom Barker with ABN Breakfast. How long you been here, girls?"
"Oh, God, since about 5 or 6 this morning, Tom. We got the bus over from Jersey. I'm Debbie, she's Tammy. Where the fox is?" They chorus the last words.
"Do you think you'll get on the show?"
"Sure," Debbie says. "Look out, America,"
Tammy cuts in, ignoring Tom, playing straight to camera.
"We're coming at ya."
The two of them start singing a Britney Spears number very, very badly. "Oh, man," Jesus mutters as he looks up to the sky.
"God, why hast thou forsaken me?"
Samantha Janson, executive producer of American Pop Star, freshly flown in from Los Angeles that very morning, presses her forehead against the tinted glass of the office window and looks down 15 floors onto the corner of Times Square and 42nd Street, where the crowd looks peaceful and harmless.
"How many?" she asks.
"We think," her assistant Roger says from the edge of the desk where he is reading a sheaf of memos attached to a clipboard, "close on 10,000, up over 20% on last year's NYC auditions."
"And elsewhere?"
Jansen says, turning round, folding her arms, leaning back against the window, the afternoon sun behind her low over Manhattan, making her just an outline to Roger. "All good. Huge numbers in L.A., Chicago, Seattle. Seems to be down a little in Houston. Probably the heat."
Probably.
Jansen is concerned. For a while, during the first season, American Pop Star had been the biggest, the only, fun in town. The show came out of nowhere and smashed all known ratings records. Right now, they were still the country's top-rated show. If they could hold on to that position for 3 years running, it would be a feat not achieved since the great days of The Cosby Show back in the 80s. Then, last year, Talent USA launched on NBC. The show took the same format as American Pop Star, but focused more on the freaks, maniacs, and crackpots, on the hard luck backstories of the contestants. No one thought the show would last, but, like the boss is fond of saying, there's no bottom to where people will go with this kind of shit. Or shite, as the boss would say. And sure enough, TUSA was back for a second season and looking to make a steady climb up the Nielsen ratings. It seemed that while America was interested in talent, what it really liked was salivating lock-'em-up-and-pump-'em-full-of-thorazine honest-to-goodness off-their-titties maniacs. And plenty of them. TUSA hadn't made enough of a climb yet to really challenge Jansen's position as exec producer of America's number one show, but enough of a climb to make the boss nervous. And when the boss was nervous, you had better be more than just a little concerned. She turns back to the window and looks down at the milling line.
"Here we go again," she says, to herself more than Roger.